Good evening, everybody. Michelle Schneider, would you lead us in the pledge, please?
Ready to begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you, Michelle. Roll call. All the directors are present tonight. And the agenda, can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor of the agenda approval, say aye.
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 All those opposed? Agenda is approved. And number four, public comments. Where is the mic? Oh,
over
there it is.
My name is John Lanoue. I'm a member of the Wrightwood Village Trail Committee. Last month's July meeting, we plan on having on the agenda tonight continuing discussion and action for that operation. But it was removed from the agenda with our approval also, and we will propose that we have it on next month's agenda. So if in the minutes you would put that down for September, I'd appreciate it. The committee is working with Caltrans on an agreement, and this agreement is taking a bit of time, so we want to make sure that we have all of our T's crossed and our I's dotted, and then that way we will have something to put in the agenda for you so that you can see the agreement and then be able to act on it accordingly. Also, we have other documentation that the committee is putting together, and we'll propose that at that time also. So I think for now I will leave it at that.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
Any other public comments?
Sure. My name is Kurt Watson, and I want to express my goodwill and pleasure towards the community softball league, because it really is a good thing. It engenders a lot of community goodwill, and everyone's having fun. There's a few noses without a joint every once in a while, but that goes with sports, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But my congratulations to Natalie and I don't know if your colleague is here who helped you organize it or not.
Monica.
They've done a terrific job, so thank you. It's really a very good thing.
Thanks, Kurt.
Thank you very much.
Any other public comments?
Hi, I'm Randy Furbach from the Wrightwood Property Owners, and I just want to make two quick comments. After a lot of work and study and whatever, we have insurance. So, it's essentially the same as what the Fire Safe Council has, and so that means we'll be going ahead with the Ice Cream Social, and then we'll talk about filming waivers and stuff. Ice Cream Social is October 7th, I believe, first Sunday, and we got to have a board meeting tomorrow, but I thought I'd bring it up today to talk about the possibility of maybe co-sponsoring property owners and the CSD, because it would be a great opportunity for you guys to come out and meet your constituents. So I got to prepare a document for Elle, and we'll pay for the band and all that stuff, but over the years, we had access to the facility, and that really helped. So,
sounds good.
Proposal together.
Sounds great. Thank you, Randy. Thank you, Randy. Any other public comments?
Oh, microphone.
It's October 1st.
Not sure how you wanted to address the family players.
It's on the agenda.
Okay, thank you.
So we'll get public comments before each one of the agenda.
Are there agendas at the back of the room? Do we have?
There
has. In theory, if they haven't run out.
Anybody else? Okay. Number five, agency reports. Any agencies here? I'm pretty sure there are. Hi there.
Good evening. I'm Sergeant Robert McCurry with the Victor County Sheriff Station. I like going after Mr. Wynew because he raises the mic up so nice. I appreciate it every time.
It was still a little short.
But in the community of Brightwood, this month I noticed that there was a reduction in calls for service over March and April. Here in Brightwood, you usually average 120 to 140 calls for service. And this last month in July, you had 84 calls for service with a total of 8 reports taken. Your high call volumes in Brightwood were burglar alarms at 6, welfare checks at 6, disturbing the peace for vehicles at 5, and home checks at 4. And in the community of West Cajon Valley, there were a total of 41 calls for service with a total of 7 reports taken, and your high call volumes were area checks at 5, welfare checks at 4, welfare and institution code 5150, mental health evaluations were at 4, I'm sorry, at 2, and what we call AODs, where we assist other departments in checking residents, were at 2. But there were a reduction in calls for service up here.
Wow, that's great.
Do you attribute that to anything specific?
I have no idea. You're usually like right around 120 calls, and when I ran them tonight, 85. That's pretty significant reduction in calls.
Vacation.
Vacation.
Awesome.
Any questions for me?
Nope. I think that's it.
All right.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you. Hi, Susan.
Good evening. Susan Drake from County Supervisor Lovengood's office. I'm bringing mostly news from others. Southern California Edison issued a press release that they're going to be doing work on your new lines up here during August and September, and there may be intermittent lane closures on Highway 2 and short intermittent electric outages. I left some flyers in the back about that Edison work, so it gives you all kinds of contacts and what to expect. Also, we're co-sponsoring a senior resource fair in Hesperia with the High Desert Association of Realtors. It's on Tuesday, September 18th. It has a lot of good speakers and resources for seniors, so everybody from Brightwood is, of course, welcome. That's a Tuesday, September 18th. And also, the San Bernardino County Fire asked me to bring along some flyers about the FP5 meeting in Wrightwood. They're in the back.
Is there a date on those flyers?
There is. It's Tuesday, August 22nd at 5 p.m.
The 21st.
Sorry. Thank you.
Thanks, Susan.
Thank you, Susan.
August 21st.
Any other agencies?
I didn't see any.
Okay. Okay, we have the consent calendar. Did anybody check out the minutes for July?
Yeah, they looked okay to me.
Okay. And the July financials, what does that mean? Why is that on the consent calendar? What are we approving with that?
Last month I had financial things other than the person, and I was questioning, well, why do we have that in the area where the person are? So I thought that would be financial, but it was a broader scope.
What is it that we're just saying that we're approving the veracity of the financials?
Well,
is that what we're doing?
You're doing that, but also it was asked of myself and staff, that we have this breakdown that we have several pages of, on who was using the building and what month and all that stuff. And, well,
I speak up.
We have all the stuff in here.
Yeah.
That we were being asked to provide. I figured this is an okay place to put that.
Okay.
And then there's the financials that Cecilia County put together, right?
I mean, I think we have some questions about it, so I'm just wondering why it's on a consent calendar.
Well, you can always pull it off the consent calendar.
Yeah, I'd like to do that.
That's fine.
Okay. Okay.
Do we put off the disbursement portion too, or
no? I just
normally
I just,
where we.
Oh, is that right?
It's during the consent. The check register and the disbursement stuff. We normally have done that on the consent, but
yeah,
we want to put it back. That's why.
Well, I mean, we have questions about it, and we're going to speak to that down here further, right? Is that on an agenda item on its own?
No.
Not for the disbursement.
Not for disbursements.
Okay.
If I may, Mr. President,
yeah.
We can go ahead and take action on item 6A and B, pull 6C from the consent calendar, and then discuss that.
Okay, I'd like to do that. So, going to pull item C from the consent calendar, approve items A and B. Do I have a motion for that, please?
But there's another, July 31st board meetings that are in this packet as well.
That's because the July 26th meeting
was
continued.
Okay. I just didn't know if that was a separate item on there. So
that's why I'm kind of all together.
Okay.
Right.
Can I have a motion for the consent items A and B?
Al, excuse me, Wes, could we have a question?
Okay.
Before you vote on that, one of the items, number B, was a special board meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you could just elaborate on that a little bit, short and sweet, to tell us what the final decision was at that meeting so that the public here knows what was going on with the
we just passed both resolutions for San Bernardino and LA County to continue the special solid waste tax assessment.
Right. So the assessment fees will be the same for LA
County. The same.
Exactly the same as they were last year.
That's right.
And that there are no rules or regulation changes for.
That's right. That's right.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Can I have a motion for items A and B on the consent calendar?
So moved.
I'll second the motion.
All those in favor of the consent calendar's items A and B, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The consent calendar carries with items A and B.
We need to do a motion to put the July financial later on.
No, we just discuss it now.
Oh, okay.
So let's go over these financials now. Chuck, did you get a chance to, you wanted to review some of the breakdown here.
Yeah, Al put together a spreadsheet July through June, I guess it was.
Mm-hmm.
Breaking down who rented and what the amount was and that type of thing. That's what this was, guys? Yeah.
Right.
And then also you had in here, I guess on the disbursement, the employee monthly hours, what was budgeted and what was actual. We had the GM at budgeted 100 and the actual 134. Office, I assume that's Michelle, budgeted at 90 and actual was 106. And Park, is that Ron? Okay. At 80 and he was at 89.75. And that was for the new year, July. Is that pretty much what it was in the past, that ballparking, hours-wise?
I guess in a ballpark, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't go that far back because I wasn't asked to, but yeah.
Okay.
Does this fluctuate up and down, or has it, like, is there a general trend in the past?
Well, it's going to fluctuate up and down.
Okay.
But also keep in mind that...
Can you get on the mic, Al? Sorry.
Also keep in mind that any given month, there might be five Mondays and four Fridays. And so one, the person works Monday through Thursday, and the person works Thursday through Sunday. Your days of work don't change.
So are there months where we come, where you come in under what is budgeted, or is it generally over?
It hasn't happened.
What a figure. That's a lot of work.
On your disbursements, and I'll get to Cecilia because I'm.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about that, about the hours though, and the overages, right? So,
okay.
So those overages, if you don't see that ever going down, so then the budget's off by that. If it's really going to go up, if it's going to be up like that all the time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean that's what you're saying. So what do we budget for that? We budgeted. Help me here, Chuck.
Yeah, I know, I got it. We had talked about 20 hours at one point for Michelle, and these are based on a monthly figure. So, you know, you're talking 40 hours a pay period or 80 for the month.
Yeah.
In that ballpark is what I understand as far as the budget was there.
On the budget level, you're correct.
Okay. Yeah, and then it's just a matter of, you know, if we have scheduled her to help out with the bathroom situation or there's other things going on. I'm more concerned when we get together with Cecilia is how much of QuickBooks is done, because last meeting we had talked about it and you said we only had from June on in QuickBooks, and I know Cecilia has gone back from July through June with the printouts and stuff. Is that something that we can transfer to QuickBooks on the CSD computer? If you know what I'm asking.
No, I really don't know what you're asking.
Oh, I think. Well, maybe I can ask that. So QuickBooks is online.
Okay.
So it's not. It's on the internet. It's in the cloud.
So if we wanted to go to the CSD computer and pull up a report off of QuickBooks, we can do that, even for last year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Partially depends on what the report that you're looking for is. Like an example.
Use the mic.
Yes, I will. Such as the report that they have in there for the 12 months.
Right.
We couldn't put that, we couldn't do that on QuickBooks because we don't have it in QuickBooks. We have only part of that. Okay. How we got to that report that you have in your hand when the county was helping us out with the office, okay, and you had the county employee. She did her math
right
in one style. We've been doing it in Excel, and then we've got QuickBooks. So you have three different ways of doing it. And the QuickBooks, the way that we have it set up in the office, okay, that deals with the current rates and everything else. If we were to put in the old rates and stuff, that would change the whole way that QuickBooks would work for us.
Okay, and Cecilia, your office has inputted June through July in. Is that something that you have in QuickBooks at your office, or is it pertaining just simply to your office?
Okay,
the format.
Everything for the CSD is in QuickBooks Online since last July. Any payroll, any bank transactions, those were all in there. So as far as getting a report, I will say QuickBooks Online it's much more difficult to generate a report than desktop, and so you would have to be specific on what kind of report you want. One of the things was earlier you wanted the income separated by the different groups.
Correct.
But if you then you wanted to by the type of rent, you can't do both unless you have a class. So it has to be decided what you want. Otherwise, you have to go back and make changes, and you're just defeating yourself.
Yeah,
so
okay.
You have to really, really decide how you want it, because online QuickBooks is a little more challenging. And once we have that, then those reports can be saved, and then you can pull them up at any time. Right now, there's a P&L in there. There's some reports that I have that I do just for quick on there. But everything in there, if you pulled up a P&L for 17-18, it's there, but it's not final because it hasn't been audited.
Right.
And then you can pull up everything through July this year.
Right.
I have a question about that. You said that we could, generate a report for one or the other, but not both. I'm assuming that's with the current tags that are there. Is it such that if we really wanted a report that had both of those features, that you could go back and enter more categories or whatever is needed to be able to do that?
If you want it that way, the best way would be type of income, just on that type. Then we would go back and set up class codes to show who it was.
Okay, great.
There are other options, but it's easier to know exactly what you want.
Yeah, all right, thank you.
Okay. So, Wes, to your point, we're spending more hours. Is there a time in which that we need to look at the budget and revise the budget? Because
yeah, we
I
can.
Know mm-hmm. we were looking at this and just did a swath of this is what we're going to do, and now
right.
now that we're on about 6.5 cylinders, not quite 8 yet.
Right.
If we could see, I mean, it's just an idea of if we want to adjust it or have Hal and the staff come up with some thoughts on revising the hours for the employees, or
we can do that any time.
Okay.
So we can revise the budget. We're just required to have a budget, which we did that. But we could revise it and update it, and I suggest we do.
Yeah.
And so we get a good feel for what's happening as we move forward.
Yeah.
We're also going to have to revise it on the election costs, which are later on in the agenda. But that's
right.
an expense that's not on there either.
Yes.
Having worked for a number of governmental entities, they do mid-year interim budget changes on there.
Hmm.
And they usually do 2 to 3 changes.
Right.
I would recommend that you, for the CSD, to do it, I hate to do it at Christmas time, but that's your mid-year, and then you would come up in January with something that you have. Then you can look at the salaries. You could look at the anomalies that are happening, and you
yeah.
can go up and down.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
That's a great idea.
Okay. Any other questions there, Chuck?
No. I mean, some of the questions we had last month was Cecilia's invoice. And given the fact I signed the check the other day, I know it came in. So it was one of those.
Okay.
On the new, one of the questions on the disbursement that I had was just simply, who is Mark Harrion, Wrightwood Arbor for tree service, $720? Is that an ongoing? Is it a one-time thing?
It's one time.
Is that the tree that was being we trimmed or
I had
whatever?
The tree by the nursery or the daycare center trimmed because it had a lot of dead branches. The tree right on the outside over here by the restroom,
right.
It had a lot of dead branches and stuff, so I had that trimmed. We have another tree, but they didn't touch that one. I figured that one could be left alone. And then I had them put in deep root watering systems. all the trees because I want to save those trees.
Yeah.
Okay. And they're really getting fatigued, so we're watering them daily through the system. And then probably in a couple months, you'll see them really looking a lot fresher, and then we can back that off.
Okay. And then the 718, where you have the account Sex Training Chuck. It would be nice if you said that was the sexual harassment training that I went to as opposed to my sex training.
I'm sorry. I didn't
sexual harassment.
It would have been nice, Al. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. For posterity, right?
Okay. Don't put that in the minutes.
Did you see it? Yeah. Thank you.
I was going to ask one more thing. What's your wife think about
it? She said it wasn't enough.
So where's the report?
Thank you, sir.
Is that it?
All I have, yeah.
That's all you have? Okay.
I covered everything I had.
All right. So do we, Steve, do we need to have a motion to accept that July financials?
Yes.
Okay. So... can I have a motion to accept the July financials, please?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor of the July financials, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the July financials are accepted. General manager report.
We had a fairly busy month. I just came in, I think the majority of the key points in the written report. I was just asked if you had any questions about it.
Well, I had a question about the Village Trail issue with the insurance. I know we're discussing that as an agenda item next time, but I wondered if you had learned anything from the insurance company about liability for us.
I could answer that right now. Still covered when it comes back onto the agenda. The answer is that it would be covered, no extra expense. It'd be covered with no extra expense, and there's a possibility of some kind of like how we have the skateboard park where there's a liability.
The waiver.
The waiver is assumed by whoever uses the skate park. That there's something similar to that. I haven't seen it yet. There's something similar to that for trailing.
That we would post.
That we'd have to have those.
Kind of throughout or just at the beginning?
I'm not quite sure.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And would we need to name Caltrans as additionally insured or
yes.
not?
We would.
Okay.
Any other questions for Al on his general manager report? Any comments or anything on that, Al, or anything?
I have one. The fourth bullet. I want to thank President Zuber for participating in the work of fulfilling the annual, so I want to thank you.
Oh, thank you.
I want to make sure that was pointed out.
Yeah, okay, thank you. My pleasure. Okay, if there's nothing else on there.
Thanks, Al.
Thank you, Al. Item 8, Resolution 2018-06, State Disability Insurance, Discussion of Possible Action. Now, this is the one we had a question on, like, why was this separate? So if you can make a comment on that.
Will you do handouts for everybody, but I'll just go over in a minute. You're a governmental agency, and a governmental agency under Section 709 doesn't allow, unless you elect to have, state disability insurance for the employee. And to have that, you have to have it for all employees for the first 2 years, and then after that, you can go ahead and eliminate that. It's no cost to the entity because that comes out of the employee's check. However, government agencies do not have automatic state disability insurance. They have to use it. I have been working with EDD on this, and so they said to have the board minutes or the resolution, and I have faxed them the employee handbook, the pages, page 15 and page 24 that identify the state disability for family leave and for short-term disability. And you also have your SBI listed on your budget. So in essence, it looks like you've accepted it, but you haven't formally said that you want to have
which we're required to by that law, that statute, that code you pointed out.
Right. If you choose to not have it, then we would have to refund money back to all the employees that's taken out, and you would have to adjust your budget and your employee sample.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So I guess we do have to do the resolution. That explains it.
I'm certainly in favor of it because I didn't realize, thank you for clarifying that we have to actually elect to have coverage.
This is for two complete years, two calendar years.
Right, yes.
Okay, can I have a motion to accept the resolution?
I'll make a motion to accept the resolution 2018-06.
I'll second that.
All those in favor of the resolution, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Resolution 2018-06 carries. Item 9, 2017 election costs, discussion on possible action. Al and I weren't able to get the election costs reduced, so it remains at $63.5, but we did manage to get it carried over 6 years. So they agreed to have it carried over since, what is it, 10 grand a year or something? 10.5, with no interest. So we write a check to them in January every year for that 10.5. Okay? Is that, I don't think we need anything. There's no action on it. Do we need action on that?
Yeah, I would suggest that we take action.
Okay. All those in favor of that?
Request a motion. Second.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Can I have a motion?
What is it that we're looking to pass? Just
that we agree that we agree that it's going to be $63.5.
The payment schedule.
And then the payment schedule is over 6 years, no interest.
Schedule on page 33. The schedule on page 33. Oh, there it is.
Thank you, Al.
Well, you guys have worked on this quite a bit, so this is just where we're at, right?
They were pretty stubborn about it.
There's nowhere to go from here, I think, aside from this.
Yeah.
And did they give you an estimate on what the election would cost?
They did. Since it's over the whole county this time, it's going to be about $2,000.
$2,000.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Given the fact they gave us an estimate before the election at $46,000.
Right.
And then they did something with the Board of Supervisors and said it would be
$63,500,
and at some point in time they went up to $96,000.
Well, the LAFCO called, it's a big long story, but LAFCO called and talked to San Bernardino. It's a little complicated,
right,
because
I saw
of,
the
because
paperwork.
Of LA yeah. County, okay?
Yeah, I saw the paperwork on that. My question basically
Let me just I think I can answer your question this through this long story.
Okay.
So they estimated 46, but it was really just a pretty a big guess because they hadn't really talked to LA County. And San Bernardino had to actually do the election for LA County. It was really complicated. And so it really did cost them 96 by their math. But we objected, or you're crazy, you know, you said 46, so they reduced it to 63.5. And that's what happened.
Right, and just for the record, so it's on there, is basically they knew the 63.5 in November 1st of 2016, and I believe that was before the election to have the CSD formed. So they knew about it before. The budget was still at that point from LAFCO of $46,000. And I just think it's a bunch of crock, but we're there. You guys negotiated.
Yeah, but that's how they, I mean, that's what it costs. I mean, that's just what it costs. So
well, from their point of view.
Yeah, we're not dealing with a contractor here. This is the state of the county of San Bernardino. They go, look, you owe us this money.
I'm just giving you an opinion, that's all.
Okay.
It's not going to change it. We need to vote on it and pay the $10,000 every month.
The fairest deal we're going to get.
I'm going to move that we accept the payment schedule given.
I will second it.
All right.
Oh, wait. We got a question.
I'd like to comment on that.
Okay.
As I recall, last year, when that election took place, and shortly after that, as the meetings for CSD started, there was some conflict about what the county owed the CSD. We got some funds.
Right.
I'm sorry, I don't remember off the top of my head, but
$14,000.
It seems to me there was more owed to us.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's too late in this at this point in time.
Never too late.
Renegotiate with the county and say, hey, you know, if we owe 63.5 or whatever.
Totally different department.
All different. Oranges and apples.
Yep, totally.
Yeah.
It's like,
thank you.
California and Nevada, they're completely separate. Okay.
Thank you, John.
I second it.
All right, I'll ask for the motion again. Can I have the motion again just to make sure?
I move that we accept the payment schedule as proposed to Red Receipt.
Second.
All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the motion carries. Item 10, CSDA Board of Directors election, discussion and possible action.
The California Special District Association, we're a member of. Through that membership, we're able to get our interns through SBRMA. But regardless of that part of things, they have, like any other organization, elections periodically. Currently, there's a seat available that's actually Joe McKenzie's seat that says that. And so he's looking to either be re-elected or not. And then we have a gentleman, and she's from the Vista Water District. Then we have a gentleman from, I want to make sure I get his name, Joseph Kelly from Big Bear Airport District. He can throw his hat into the ring. Well, I know them both. I don't know Joseph super well, but I do know. I know Joe McKenzie, who's been with CSDA on the board for a very long time. He helped out this year with the CSDA issues. He helped out Hillendale. She's gone to bat for a lot of people. Yeah, if you're looking for a recommendation from me, I think you got an idea of where I'm going. But it's up to the board if you want to pick a candidate and endorse it or not endorse it, but vote for that particular candidate. Or there's another way of doing that where you can have your general manager do the election. Some districts do that, and maybe Mr. Kennedy can elaborate on that a little bit more than I can. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, it's the discretion of the board.
So it's either the board decides or we give it to you and you decide.
Or nobody decides.
Or nobody decides. I really don't know anything about any of these candidates or anything, so I couldn't even speak to it myself.
I think it makes sense that we empower Al to make that vote because you have the most interaction with the agency and other players. I came to the same conclusion you did, but I would have personally, because I don't know anything beyond what's on this paper about either of these candidates, I would have deferred to what you thought if you had some interaction with them or whatever it is. I'm sure it's more than most of us have had.
Okay. Thank you.
Do we need to take any formal action on that, or is that...
Yeah, I think we need to...
If the board's decision is to take no action, then you wouldn't need to take any action. If the decision is to give the general manager authority to vote on the district's behalf, then I would request that.
Yeah, I think we should. Can I have a motion to give Al the authority to vote in the CSDA election?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? The motion carries. Item 11, Timberline Lions Club Veterans Park Bench, discussion of possible action. Is there somebody here from the Lions?
I'm Steve Reinick, and I'm a vice president of Timberline Lions Club. And one of the proposals we had was to put a bench in the Veterans Park, and we would pay for it. And it would just be a nice thing to have there for the public to sit on, and we would show you what it would look like, basically saying something similar to the Lions Club of Wrightwood or something on the bench. I thought it was this was going to be held off, that was going to be discussed tonight. But is that still on the agenda?
Yeah.
Okay. Bob, did you want to speak to it at all? If not, that's okay. Vicki found a company that makes the bench. It's a high quality. I think it is like a cement type of product. Very similar to what the benches are around Wrightwood, and it would just be an additional nice bench in the Veterans Park.
Steve, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Is it the bench that I got the flyer
information on? Yeah, that's the proposed bench.
It has recycled material. It weighs approximately 72 pounds. It adds to our veterans, Timberline Lions.
Yeah.
And if you have a packet or if you're one of the people who received the packet, it's got a really nice picture.
Yeah, it's a nice
picture. Don't go, Steve. I have a question after Bob speaks.
Okay, Bob here.
Hi, Bob.
Well, I proposed that as a project for the Lions Club.
Bob, can you tilt that mic up?
Yeah. I proposed that as a project for the Lions Club for the community. Being a veteran myself, I thought it was a good idea. I still think it's a good idea. If the CSD or the Veterans Committee would go along with it, we would be most happy to work with it. No cost to anyone, we would buy into the full cost of the bench. I think the slogan that we want to put on it, I think we should possibly reconsider that. Other than that, I thought it was a good idea, and I still think so.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Steve, I got a couple questions for you, if you don't mind. Chuck, I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
There is a Veterans Committee, I believe, right?
Yes.
Is there anybody here from the Veterans Committee?
Yes, there is, and I am here on their behalf.
Can you come to the mic?
My name is Dee Potter, and I am a member of the Vet Committee that meets on the fourth Sunday every month. at 3 o'clock if anyone cares to join us sometime. The then committee was very vehement about saying no benches in their park. They feel that in the future there'll be somebody else who would like to memorialize somebody, etc., and it would become very cluttered. First of all, that park is very small, and they feel that their monument, which honors all wars, all vets, past and present, is quite sufficient. So they have asked the CSD to cancel the request.
Okay. Thank you, Dean.
That was my question, Steve. Well, I've heard from a couple of the committee members that were not happy with okaying this. And I think it would have to come through the committee first before we
vote. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're not going to take any action on that.
No action on number 11.
Right.
Yeah, they could use it.
Okay, item 12, Timberline Lions Club Facility Use Proposal, Discussion of Possible Action.
Again.
Steve Reinick, Timberline Lions Club Vice President. You've all gotten the proposal in writing. Should I read it so that everybody can understand what we're asking for?
I think we've all got a copy of it.
Is this the one from Nancy Smith?
Yes.
What was the date on this letter?
July 19th.
Thank you.
And basically we're asking for a variance of the fees and come up with a flat rate for the year. We have meetings every month, and we also have a couple of meetings a year that we raise money, like the Easter breakfast, and we're thinking if we have a fireman's ball, that kind of thing, that would be part of this. And as you know, the bingo has been discontinued, and it wasn't because of attendance. It just started losing money with the new fees. So I know a lot of people in town were a little disappointed, but it was costing us $250, $300, and we were only bringing in $100. So it wasn't cost effective to keep the bingo going. But if we have some kind of a variance, we might consider that. Also, as it says in this memo, we are giving $1 million in insurance for both a liquor license and for the liability coverage. So that's covered. Any questions?
Yes, okay. Steve, the 5.5 hours per meeting, how many, right. Is that four meetings a month?
We're looking at one meeting a month. That's our general meeting.
Okay, so it's the
Tuesday.
We want to do two.
So that's 12 hours? 11 hours a month?
Or 11 hours a month times 12 months.
Okay. What's that work out to?
11 times 12.
123. How much an hour?
Times 5.50
for the normal rate.
Oh, I see.
Normal rate. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, just as a reminder, after we gave the building to the county, which we built and paid for, they gave us a 75% discount. We're not asking for that.
Right.
We're asking for a flat fee.
Which is not in writing anywhere, right?
It's not in writing.
Yeah, because we asked.
Yeah.
Okay, Steve, part of my packet after the breakdown is a spreadsheet. I don't know where that came from.
That's
from us.
That's
is that from us? Okay.
I kind of explained that in my notation here. But anyway, to give you, the board, some idea of what had the hours used and the cost factor and that type of thing. From last year was another only year that we can go back to. Okay, the spreadsheet basically covers that the community building, most of the meetings were 2.5 hours, Nashville Firehouse, where they held their board meetings, tends to be 2 hours, if that's what they're charged for. And so this kind of explains all that, the various charges. For the bingo, they were getting a 70% reduction for the, I believe it's the kitchen, correct? Yeah, for the use of the kitchen, and a 20% reduction for the use of the hall. And then there's an outstanding balance that's still due.
How much is that?
Well, it's $138. And then currently, the I included a letter from Nancy dated June 7th.
Right.
And this particular letter is due to the district, and that type of thing. And it's a very nice letter as far as I'm concerned, as it was written, that basically asked as far as basically protecting the community that they're no longer the facilities.
Mm-hmm.
But also in here, the very last line it says, if we need to utilize either building or a special event, an application will be submitted in advance. Currently, we don't have an application from them, but what I'm feeling, or I think it's happening, and hopefully speaking, it can support that. Because I think they're looking ahead. So they're looking for the variance so that they can get an idea of what they can do.
Yeah.
Okay. Al, this spreadsheet, is this based on the 70% discount that they were receiving from the county? These charges? Or?
Basically, it's the same thing, yeah.
Okay, so they were getting a 70% discount?
For bingo.
For just bingo, yeah.
For use of the kitchen during the bingo.
Right.
They're getting 20% for the use of the hall for the bingo.
Okay, but for their meetings, wasn't the county giving them a discount?
No.
Steve, you didn't have a discount for
that? No, I don't believe so.
Really? So you were paying full boat?
No, the fee went to $13.50 from $16 per hour.
No, that's what the
fee that's what it is now.
I'm talking about before, like last year, when you guys were renting it.
Right.
Type of a discount from the county.
Not for the
regular meetings.
Right.
No, we were paying, I believe, the $13.50.
Now you're asking for $7.57.
What am I asking for? Maybe we'll have to do this too. Is we pass on the firehouse because we've already got a place to use that.
Yeah.
So we can take that out of the
equation. But what you're asking here tonight is you're saying, look, we'll pay you $1,000,
right,
and we're going to use it for 132 hours at $7.57 an hour.
Okay, I have a question. He said it was running $200 for bingo, and I'm looking at this, and it says like 12/2017, it was $162 for 5 hours in the community building. $162 divided by $13.50 is for 12 hours. Am I misreading this? It doesn't seem, it seems like it's three times what they should have been charged and with no reduction. So I'm confused.
No, well, I mean, but they had the reduction they had a big discount for the bingo and the kitchen.
Right, but this is
the
kitchen is $45, it says here. So I could see that was a reduction potentially. I don't know. Sometimes it's 45, then it was 15, then it was 15.
Well, keep in mind that last year, only until 2 months ago, we were on quarterly billing. So those numbers were quarterly.
Oh. So when you said that bingo was bringing in about $200, mm-hmm, or $200 to $300, but it was costing you, or it was bringing in $100, but it was costing you $200.
Yeah.
Was
when you use the kitchen and when you use everything involved, it we were losing $100 to $200 each bingo.
How many hours is the? I'm confused.
Bingo's
on the math
a lot
there.
Of hours.
Yeah. Oh, how many?
Many hours. How many hours do you think bingo is?
5 hours.
4:30 to 9.
Okay, so that's
5.5 hours.
4.5 hours.
Yeah.
But that's still at $13. That and the kitchen are under 100.
The other thing we have given up is the closets. We used to have both closets. We're not paying for those anymore.
But this account, I'm
just super confused by that.
Cause it's quarterly. Previous to the, I was going to QuickBooks, they were charged quarterly. So typically it was $69 a month for bingo.
$69 a month. Okay.
And then you used it once or twice a month?
Once.
Bingo was
once a month.
Once a month.
Yeah.
Okay.
Saturday.
Got it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But we're looking to try to come back because what's happened is we're gone. We're over at Cedar Lodge for our general meetings, and our budget meetings, our board meetings, are over at the Sheldon Entertainment. And I think the Wrightwood CST would rather have some money coming back in. I bet we were the largest client you had, and we're gone because of the increase in fees. Are we the largest client?
Mm-hmm.
I think we were. You might check on that.
Not last year. We had one or two larger.
Okay.
But again, we're not talking about it. You look at the amount of money.
Yeah.
But you were the Lions Club. They were one of the say the top three or four.
Okay. So it's better to have some money than none.
Well, I don't know. I mean, what you're saying is $7.50 an hour.
Right.
That's what you're really saying here. Hey,
okay.
you guys should accept $7.57
well,
an hour.
We're not asking for a zero like a lot of other nonprofit organizations that are in here. We're saying we're going to be paying $1,000.
Yeah, I would say no. I would say no. I'm not for that.
Okay, you all have options.
Right.
Thank you.
Right. Well, you guys want to discuss
it? I'd like to ask, I'm Vicki Reinick, and I would like to ask other board members.
Of course.
What they
yeah.
feel. I mean.
Well, we
got to
vote on it.
Yeah. Yeah. We have to discuss it.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, isn't this the time to discuss it
instead
of saying just no?
No, that's just my opinion.
Come back with another rate. That we could take back to our board instead of just denying it straight across.
Well, I mean, we're here voting on the variance, so it's my vote that it be the regular rate, which we left the same actually.
I concur as well, because why should we have to change it for others? I mean, do this one for $7 an hour.
Yeah.
$7.50.
Yeah. Chuck.
I agree. I think $7.50 is too low.
Yeah.
Right.
And we spent 3 months talking about these rates, and the whole focus that I heard was we wanted to standardize them.
That's right.
And now we are making exceptions for a lot of different people, or we're getting variance requests, and.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
which is all right. Which is okay.
Which, yeah, I mean, that's certainly the right in the whole bit, but mm-hmm. I don't know. It, going down to $7.50, basically, if this thing is correct, they were paying
$13.50 anyway.
Well, they were paying $3,000 for the year, and now we're cutting $2,000 out of that too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know they do stuff for the community. I know that they. Have a lot of good programs that they donate to and the whole bit.
But
again,
so do all the other.
So, yes, I understand.
Farmers market. I mean, there's
and
a.
And I'll go back to my thing from the beginning was the Quilt Guild still is paying the full boat. The co-op still paying the full boat.
And farmers market.
Farmers market now is.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I would be inclined not to, yes. Michelle.
I don't know that I oppose some variance being made, but I think this is too low based on the other existing organizations and this fundamental issue we had at the very beginning, which was almost every group that rents this place consistently is giving something to the community. And
correct.
In my opinion, that's why the rates are as low as they are. Because
they're already
if you
really
look
low,
at
yeah.
other community centers in the area, the rates are significantly higher, and I think we have the lowest rates anywhere, or
mm-hmm.
in our surrounding area. Is that correct?
We're
oh, or we're, okay.
So I think this is too low.
Okay. Josh, you have a comment? State your name, please.
My name is Josh Wolf. Speaking as a member of the public, if you look at what the actual sheet that's put forward is, it appears that they're asking for 5.5 times 12 plus two meetings. That's what the paper appears to put forward. And what we heard was that they've sort of moved their meetings around, and it still seems a little unclear whether we're talking in that agreement that they're asking for one 5.5 hour meeting a month.
No, I think they were clear. They said two.
Yeah.
And they're clear that they have to. So if it's clear that they're asking for two here, then
they are
lost on me.
But, no, isn't that right, Steve? Is it two?
Yeah.
It's
but
two.
If you'll agree to one, we'll talk about it.
No, I think it's...
Then you're double that rate.
So, yeah, if you read it as the one 5.5 hour as written on there, you end up with pretty close to what the actual market rate would be. So I think that...
So why not just pay the market rate then?
If they want to... That's not an argument for me to have.
All right. Natalie?
I would like to support them. I feel that I am disappointed that they have left, and I feel like they do offer a lot for the community, and mm-hmm. I would hate to see, especially the two fundraising events that they have here every year, go away because of that. And if we're that close, like Josh had just brought up, you know, to...
Well, we're not, though.
Well,
because,
we are.
Because
me,
they're saying two meetings.
No, let me give you the math on that. Because I heard twice that it was two times a month, but then I thought I also heard at the end that you would potentially forfeit the old firehouse, or it sounded like it was potentially one meeting a month. One meeting a month, 5.5 hours, times 12 months, times $13.50 per hour is $891.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And why wouldn't you just pay the...
Because they're including the two fundraising events.
Plus the kitchen.
So it's almost plus like sponsoring.
The fundraising events include the kitchen.
No, the meetings have the kitchen, so there's another $600 that you're not...
The meetings use the kitchen?
Yes.
But in their variance, they don't list the number of... It's not in the agreement, okay? They don't say... this many hours a month. They don't say this much per hour. I mean, I'd like to see it as per hour. And if it's that close, then why not just pay the $13.50? If it is that close.
I see it as like giving, you know, working to help them essentially like sponsor those two events, which are well attended from what I understand. And I would hate to see those go away.
It doesn't mean they'll go away. It could mean they pay the rate.
Special variance for those special events. That?
Absolutely. If this does not pass, then you can absolutely come back with a request for a variance on a future event. This by no means says anything about your ability to come back and request something.
If I could add a couple little things. The request for variance is part of the application process. Okay. When an organization doesn't submit an application and they pull out section, which is the request for variance, it's kind of hard to get a grasp of what you're really looking at. The application would say the use of this, the use of that.
Yeah, there's some details missing from this.
So a lot of the questions that you had as the board would have been answered in that application, such as I can't remember which one it is, but one of these I actually was able to get the application in.
The AC-100, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. And and also, again, it's just what I'm trying to clarify. If the board says no to this particular, because I'm getting the impression, and nobody from the Lions Club approached me about anything, but I'm getting the impression that that they're shopping, looking for the best deal, so that when they submit an application, they know what they're looking at.
Okay, well, they can reword the variance and come back.
Steve, what are the two fundraising events?
We're looking at the Easter breakfast and probably the fireman's ball.
Okay.
And they raise the money for the fire department and the other for scholarships.
Yeah, I would like you know, personally, I'd like to see you guys put in for a variance on those fundraisers, because those are you know, very good causes.
Well, based on this, I think we should maybe just take no action on this, and you can redo the variance, okay?
Well, and Al, can I make a request that, if this is appropriate, and for future requests for a variance, that we have that form?
The application.
We require that application be filled out by the requesting organization?
Before it comes to the board, in front of the board.
Yeah. So that we really can see the numbers clearly, and that would be great. Thank you.
Okay, we're just...
I have a question. I'm sorry. Steve, is the fireman's ball in the works right now? Like, is it going to be this winter?
We have an issue trying to get the fire department, because there's been a lot of management changes in the fire department, to get the right people to agree to it. But all the funds go to the fire department.
But it's something you'd like to do this year? Like, at the end of that? Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you. We're going to remove that from the calendar. Let's take it. I'd like to take a 10-minute break, real quick. Just a little bathroom break, please.
Okay.
All right. Item 13: Snow Line Players Facility Use Proposal Discussion and Possible Actions. Is Cheryl here?
Hello.
Can you just state your name, just for the recorder?
Okay, Cheryl Buckle, president of the Snowline Players Community Theater Group. I don't really know what you want me to say up here. I know that I was requested to come for some questions. Am I supposed to tell the group what's going on? Or?
Yeah, you're asking for a variance.
We are. Yes.
And. And I don't really know what variance you're asking for.
So
it's not clear to me what the variance would be.
Going off of our previous rates, which were 10% of what we made, or $100, whichever was more, we've requested
off of the play itself.
Off of the play itself, not for rehearsal time. We only paid whenever we had an event where we actually made money.
And so you never paid for rehearsal time?
Not until the show. And it wasn't individual. It would be a group
you.
Thing.
Okay.
So rehearsal time and show was considered like a group event all of that time. And then whatever we would make off of the show when we made money,
yeah,
it would be either 10% or $100, whichever was more.
Yeah.
I asked if we could up that to 20% or $200, because I do understand that you are trying to figure out how to get the bills paid and everything here at the Wrightwood Community Building, but I also know that we can't do any more than that. So me personally, I direct the summer musical every year, and I've already had to pull out of the community building when we got our proposed rate or what the bill was going to be for May. I had to pull out right away because I knew there was no way that we were going to be able to cover it. Even May is over what we would normally pay. Just to give you guys an idea, we're doing the show right now. Our first weekend brought in $461. That's it. We licensed the show for $2,241. Our costumes are $560. We haven't gotten the price yet for sets. And so this kind of gives you an idea of where we are financially. We do our...
Where was that show?
It's still going. We have another weekend yet to go, so...
No, where is it? Where is it being?
Apple Valley. Yeah. We had to do it at a theater that would let us perform without charging us, so...
Mm-hmm.
So we're there because they don't charge us.
But you could have done that here?
No, this stage is too small. Our summer musical, we used to do at Serrano because the stage is big. And it's usually a big production.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to be able to do it here. It's just the stage is not big enough. And Serrano has priced us out. We can't afford Serrano anymore. Granite Hills offered us their stage. And what we do in return for them is we use some of their students as techs, and they're learning how to do tech work.
Oh, that's good.
And then we get the stage for free.
Yeah.
So that's been very beneficial for us, but it also puts us all the way out in Apple Valley.
Right.
Now, our fundraisers that we do to try and make money to cover these other shows, we usually do here in the community building. But if we're looking at the your rate that you're going to ask for as a standardized rate, there's no point in us doing a fundraiser because all of our money would be going into paying for the community building. We're not making any money to do our next show.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, it's really Snowline Players is kind of two different, and just correct me if I'm wrong, okay? But it's really kind of two different, or you have the kids part of it.
We're all one group. We're governed by one board. We have.
But the
kids program.
But they do that. The kids program, they do that up here.
And right. With
the kids program is done. They practice here. They do some of the shows here, and then they take it through the school district. Well, they have the last few years.
Uh-huh.
So they'll take it through the school district and perform at different schools in the school district. So, yes, they.
But then you have also the adult part.
We have the different ages. We have teens. We have adults. We have different people that audition for our shows, different ages. The kids program, oftentimes they'll go up into the teens, but sometimes we'll have to split it up because of the age groups.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll have to maybe do two productions or two different casts because of age groups and stuff. But then the youth also cross over into like the show I'm doing right now out in Apple Valley. We have kids from the high school in that production. So it crosses over. The kids that participate in the children's program also.
I mean, it feels a little bit like, it, you know, because you do a lot of rehearsals here, right? You do the rehearsals here, but then don't have the play here.
Every other thing we do here, yeah.
So
except for the summer musical we have. Well, and we've done some of those here, too, when they've been smaller scale. We did a cabaret-style show called Musical Memories 1 year, but we could do that here because it doesn't require sets and that type of a thing. But
right.
When you're looking at a big production with sets in a big cast, you just can't do that here.
Yeah.
There's not room. I even looked at the building, just came in and talked to Al and was looking at how could we maybe like set up an audience against that wall and then set up a curtain to have this be our stage as opposed to that. But
yeah.
It might work at some point in the future, but I don't see.
But I mean, there was one time I remember I was just looking at the records, and it was, you know, there was 9 rehearsals in 1 month,
mm-hmm.
and that play wasn't done here, and it was, you know, this variance is for, the variance is to benefit the community,
mm-hmm.
and it's not benefiting the community if it's the play's not done here.
Well, it benefits the community if the participants are from the community. The participants that are in the show are from the community.
Okay.
People from the whole tri-community can audition for our shows. Not only that, but then they're invited to see the shows. Yes, we're stuck in Apple Valley. That wasn't our choice. We would love to be at Serrano, and that would be local for everybody, but
mm-hmm.
For the one show, yes, we're forced out to Apple Valley because it's free for us. Also, like I said, I had to pull out of rehearsals for the show we're doing in Apple Valley because of the cost. But the owner at Studio K Dance Center felt that we needed a place, and so she put us there.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not charging us. She did say if we continue, because I offered what I paid you guys, but she said, no, I don't want you to worry about it right now. I want you to figure this out, try to get everything taken care of with what's going on with the CSC. And then if you continue with that next year, we can talk about maybe that being a thing. But right now, she's not charging us anything.
And I have one other question. You say net in your variance, but
I think
you mean the accounting net, do you? You mean the gross or the net?
I do mean net because what we bring in, we may end up with nothing. So we would still always pay you the 100, even if we were in the red.
I see.
Because then
at a future date, we would have a fundraiser and we would make that back. So you'd always get the 100. If we made money on the show,
we might as well just make it free. I mean, might as well just make it zero. I mean, it's...
Okay.
Yeah.
So I know the last time we met, we specifically said that this request needed to say profit instead of net. I don't know, did that get communicated to you?
Al told me that you had a concern with that.
No, it's okay. I mean, it's you explained it.
Right.
So,
let me ask you this, Cheryl. You have mentioned in your letter to the editor and also here at Tri-Community Event and that type of thing, mm-hmm. has the... Phelan Pinyon Hill CSD offered to, or have you approached them
as far as
getting any kind of money from them?
We've never used the Phelan Pinyon Hill CSD, so I have not. We've always used Wrightwood and have always kind of considered Wrightwood our base and our home. I'm actually from Pinyon Hill, so it would be a lot easier for me, because we have so many people up in this community, that's why we've always tried to make it easier and local for them.
Go ahead.
It is a possibility, I suppose, that I could ask them.
I'm just looking at it from a tri-community type of thing, mm-hmm. and it seems like you're asking for Wrightwood taxpayers to fund the whole thing.
Well, because we've always, it's mostly Wrightwood people that are participating. We do have some people from Phelan. We have a few from Pinyon Hills, but it's always kind of been a Wrightwood thing.
I would say that's similar to the softball league. Just to throw that out there, that it's in Wrightwood, but there are a lot of participants from other communities.
If I may,
support that.
There were some people that wanted to come tonight that couldn't, that wrote letters to you, if I can give them to you.
Sure.
I know you really don't have time to read them right now, but if I could at least give them.
And I want to make a correction for the record. I
no
just
problem.
Said that we had asked us to say profit, not net, and that was incorrect. What I should have said was gross, not net.
No,
so,
but it's not gross.
But, right.
Right.
But I just
okay,
want to
got
correct
you.
For the
I
record, I did not mean profit, I meant gross.
Okay.
Just to let you know,
when I
my email to Cheryl, I thought you wrote it.
Okay.
Yes, he
Thank
did.
You. Sorry.
He made it clear. And what I told Al was, we can say that it's gross, it's just what that's going to end up doing to us is it's going to limit what we can do here. Because we just really don't grow that much. Going to limit what we can do.
Well, how many, you know, in your variance, you don't have, it doesn't say how many times, I don't think, you know, I didn't get a, you know, study it so closely, but, you know, how many rehearsals and how the sort of, not, the number of hours
well,
is not enumerated in here.
Generally, it's twice a week. We'll do rehearsals, usually starting in May. When we have a show in August, we'll start and do two rehearsals a week because these are people that work, they have jobs. We can't expect them to meet any more than that. The kids program, two times a week.
We've made it two times a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same thing. So most of our shows average about two times a week. Now, however, when we do a show like, when we do like a Halloween show, say, we won't use this for rehearsals at all because it's usually put together by people individually, and so they're rehearsing at home. We'll come together the day of the show, and we'll come early that day, and we'll run it maybe once before the actual show that night.
Yeah.
So on shows like that, we don't use it as much.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to say one thing about the kids program, and I speak to this because Laura Steinman and I have been running the kids program for the past few years. The cost of putting on the kids' shows is radically different than this because we don't have 2,200 or however much it is in licensing.
Right.
We choose plays that are either free to use or would have minimal, it'd be $100, you know, or maybe it might be $100 every time we perform it that we have to pay for it.
Yeah.
And then those costs are covered by the school that is being performed at. So I know that huge cost has
different.
To do with the licensing
mm-hmm.
cost.
Yeah.
Cheryl, do you have could you share with us how many people you think participate, or do you know how many people participate in the Snowline Players total throughout the tri-community?
Well, I have 350 on my email list.
Okay.
and it grows all the time.
That's great.
I know that we have some people here that would be willing to speak if you guys are willing to listen.
Anybody yes, I would be happy to hear from.
Yeah. On this matter, I can certainly identify with the Lions Club that this is, yes, I know, a numbers issue, but it's also a very historic issue. It's an emotional issue. It involves a building that was provided by the Lions Club. It involves a stage that was provided by one of the board members and the founder of Snowden on Players. So it's very hard not to be emotional about this. I realise you guys have got it in numbers, but if you could hear us from the emotional point of view, and most importantly, the community point of view. This is a community building. This is a community situation that we're talking about. The Snowden on Players...
And funded by the taxpayer. That's who we're representing.
Thank you. As you know, they provide summer workshops, they provide scholarships, and they enhance resumes for our college students, and you'll hear about what is happening to some of the Snowline players. As you know, the arts funding is always being cut within our districts, within the schools. The onus is on the Snowline players as being the only non-profit performing arts association in our tri-community, and as Cheryl said, particularly Wrightwood. So we're left in a bit of a bind. This is a unique situation. I would possibly disagree with you, Michelle, but I need to do some more research as to what other communities do pay. I did speak several years ago to Ojai. I've had a look at Lake Arrowhead. I've had a look at the situation in Idlewild and in Big Bear that are comparable districts. They have a partnership with a school where their local, non-profit drama organisation can go into their high school and enjoy the wonderful facilities and give their participants the experience of being a part of it. It's very unfortunate in this case, it's not what is happening. One other thing I would like to bring to your attention as well is the example I saw tonight of the community working together. I just saw a park bench situation worked out.
Well, let's stick to this.
Okay, I think there can be something worked out. But on the emotional side of it, I'd like to say this is about family and community. Like I said, this is about history. This is a whole new situation that has come into play, and I think there needs to be some balance to look at the last 30 years of what the Snowden players have brought here, and that's what some of the members do want to share with you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Ron Frank, representing the Vice President of Snowline Players. First, I want to say thank you for making it work for the farmers market. So I just wanted to acknowledge that first, that you did do that, and that's, the way before it would not have worked for us. So on that, there's two things I want to cover. One of them is the whole reason with this community that I even understand community service, being part of the community and relating with the community is because of Snowline Players. They're the ones who brought me in to do community things. The farmers market is later. I've done nothing, did nothing else prior. I was in the community for 18 years and had nothing like that. So the value of Snowline Players for me is way beyond what's being represented, what I've seen so far. I want to kind of say something. You had a meeting where the Fire Safety Council was, given a free ride, and it's just a short thing, so I understand that, and I would definitely vote for that too. It's fires, right? Had a fire behind my home just last year, right behind it. I was out with a hose with a fireman with the front thing, and you were yelling at me to get out of there, right? So I understand fires are very afraid, but I've never been to the Fire Safety Council. I didn't know if I can go. They weren't there when that fire was there. So it doesn't include everybody in the community sometimes, even though probably I should be there. I don't know what that is. So Snowline Players, I know what it is. I have kids there in the community that they were started at this time. And I have the parents telling me how you asked for them for this
Christmas program that we brought up here to back you up. You have no idea how excited and how, you know, it felt special and everything else. That was my first instance. Having done a show with them prior, I didn't have any clue about what kind of a difference I made with them. And then that Christmas performance, that those parents came up, they gave everything. We had this place covered in feathers and shaving cream, okay, with those kids laying eggs with baseballs and things on the stage, right? It was fun. It was dynamic. Those kids came out. They came into a different way of being. I've watched her daughter, the president here, go from a place where she could barely speak on a stage to being the lead in the show now. And tall and big and adult going on to college, in college, I guess. Yeah. So, currently in the show with those same two little kids that were with me, right, here in this room. Now they are going on away from college. And they are, you know, the mom's telling me how one of them doesn't have any sense of joy or like a direction to go or a place to go forward in. And the Snowline Players gave them that. Okay? So I want you to understand, these are relationships. The shows we put on, like Anne Frank, that is big ideas, community ideas, things that you don't, our community needs to look at now, very currently in the world, with discriminations, with what that could end up to be. And that's the arts. That's how important the arts are. So if you want to talk about a fire behind my home and how important that is, this is a fire every day. If these kids aren't happy, if they don't have something to do, if they're not with the adults giving them these big ideas, the adults then aren't happy. The people I work with in the community or with even the farmers market are the adults and the kids. If they're not happy, I'm not happy. It's a community. That's what the building's about. It's a community building. So that's one thing. The other thing I've been hearing that really is kind of difficult for me to understand. And again, I'm going to put it out there and tell how I see it. I keep hearing about a gift of public funds, where I know that the building, I believe we are taxpayers and we contribute to that now, as we do to the park and the skate park, right?
Yep.
Okay, good. So I want to make sure I understood that. So there are already community funds coming from us that are participating here, and the skate park is part of that. I don't use the skate park.
Yeah, it's the way taxes work.
Right, but no, I don't think it's a bad thing.
Right.
I would support it because it supports the kids.
Mm-hmm.
I don't use the park except for the parking in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even use the field because I don't do the baseball. I don't use any of that, and yet our taxpayer money goes to that.
Right.
Right? So there's an inherent thing that I wouldn't use it because I'm not going to slide down that slide, right? But we still support it, and this organization is funding, you know, is paying for that and the upkeep of that and making sure it's safe and the insurance and everything that goes along with that. I mean, it's kind of interesting. This is a community building. Why is there an entrance? There's no entrance fee for the kids. So there's a disconnect of what a gift of public funds is. Do we need to ask the kids for their Snicker bars? I mean, I'm just saying the gift of public funds, when you have something entitled community building, not a commerce building, it's a community building.
Yeah, but it requires maintenance and upkeep and needs
and
a roof and a generator and the floors
right.
and the chairs
and all that's
got to be
And you
paid
know that
for.
I don't have any qualm with that because I'm paying those rates now and I haven't
right.
asked for a variance. So I understand that. And if I can do it, we can do it. Well, there's an organization called the Snowline Players. They want to be here. This is their home. It's been here since 1961. That's
mm-hmm.
older than me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There needs to be some way to allow the community building to be the community building. And still, you know, I don't mind paying more fees if it goes to that and have that kind of support for those kids. And I have no problem saying, hey, when they've got it, they do pay it. When they've got it, they're not asking for free rides. So
okay. So you're
asking for that help.
Okay.
And I'm asking that, you know, please do what you can. Please
okay.
give us an opportunity because really this is our home and it has been a home since 1961.
Okay. So Cheryl, could I ask you a couple more questions?
Thank you, Ron.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ron. So, and Al, can you help me with this a little bit? And, my question is the scheduling, right? Like, if they're going to be, let's say they're, you know, essentially free. Let's say the variance is, you know, they don't pay anything. And the rehearsals are scheduled in here. How far in advance do you need to have those rehearsals scheduled? You know, because we would want, you know, a paying renter to sort of have priority, but without screwing up the,
right.
the rehearsals. So then how would, I'm just asking, just hypothetically, if we said something like, hey, you can't book rehearsals more than 30 days in advance. Like, you can't just take the beginning of the year and go and lock up the whole schedule.
No, I think that's perfectly reasonable.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think we could do 30 days out because that would give people time to get time off from work if they needed to, because that's kind of what we look at when we have rehearsals. If people are working nights, they need to put in rehearsal dates for their scheduling. But with 30 days,
uh-huh.
That would be easily done.
No more. So you understand my meaning? Like we wouldn't want it so that you guys just go, hey, we're going to book all these days for the next 6 months.
I want to interject here, because having been in shows, I don't actually think 30 days is reasonable.
Okay.
I think they'd have to do it by the show. That's what it's how it's always been done. They've never said, hey, we need every Tuesday.
No, you're right.
For the whole year.
No, you're right, Michelle, but I was just saying that if that's what they're requiring,
I'm not sure it would work for adults, though, because you've got to book a month at a time, right? So 30
right.
days in advance,
it would be for the month, right?
You've got to book enough in advance to be able to give your cast members, honestly, whether they're kids or adults, because there's always adults involved
in that
schedule. So if you need, if you're starting out in June and you've got to go ahead and book July.
Well, let me ask you this. How much rehearsal time are we, you know, because it's 60 days, what you're saying, because it's not in the variance how many hours, you know,
it's 2 days a week, and how many hours?
7 to 9:30 usually for the adults.
So 3 hours.
So 7 to 9:30 for the adults, and usually the kids are earlier in the day, right? Usually 4 o'clock till.
Yeah, but we have such a high number of kids with two different shows. I think last year was 3 to 5 and 5 to 7. Three to seven, because we had two different rehearsals.
Right.
So we did do it, so it was one day, so it wasn't taking up like every
2 days
a week.
Yeah,
which I think is
right, because if it was. It becomes, you know, the rock in the
right.
river there. You know, if somebody wants to rent it out, and Snowline, who's getting his variance essentially for free, you know, is blocking that. They're blocking other revenue.
Right.
If I could interject a little bit, 60 days is about right. 60 days out.
Okay.
And. In our application process, when somebody wants to designate these dates, they have to apply for it. They should be putting the deposit down for that. They should be doing, you know, prepaying the fees, basically, in certain situations. In other situations, they could bill for the fees. But also in our application process, we have the cancellation part of things. You know, and I have to say, I won't pick on any one particular organization. I don't like doing that. But we've had situations where somebody has reserved the building, not paid their fees up front, you know, the parts that need to be paid, cancel the same day of the event or a couple days before it, saying,
yeah.
Well, you know, we realize that we're just not going to have enough people show up to that thing, so we're done.
Yeah.
In which case, we have had situations where somebody else wanted to use the building, but we had it dedicated to this other organization.
Hmm.
And that type of thing has happened. The Snowline
right.
players right now, they did fill out an application a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that was not initial was the cancellation policy, and according to the board, if you don't initial everything, it's not void. So, you know, it's up to the board to do it with you.
Are you talking about May, June, and July, the one that I canceled because of the cost?
No, the application.
The application, there's an individual initials required for each of the items, and one of them is, hey, you know, there'll be a cancellation fee for late cancellation. And that wasn't initialed because you wanted the ability to cancel it any time.
I think it's the third one that's cancellation. That's not yours, but that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
So was that addressed when the application was turned in? Because was it not initialed because there's no fee paid? That would have been my assumption.
Oh, I see.
No, we were invoicing
the
capital. Okay. We didn't receive an invoice until June, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. I think my concern with this variance is it doesn't have quite enough detail for me. You know, I'm getting closer, but it doesn't have, you know, hey, we're going to use it for sure on Tuesday and Thursday at this time. You know, we really kind of need that if it's going
well,
to be if it's going to be.
You didn't want us to book it that far in advance.
Well, it,
we
right.
We have a proposed number of hours so it's clear that the request is when we do a show. This
it
is
takes
how long
a couple months
it.
To rehearse, and in those couple months, we're going to use it this many times a week for this many hours.
Mm-hmm.
Something that is. Just a general kind of projected amount of hours. For instance, when the Lions Club, you know, was proposing, they said we're going to have one meeting or two meetings a month for this many hours. We have two fundraising events. So unless you want to come and do it on a show-by-show basis where you're asking for a variance like we suggested they do with their fundraising events, if you're asking, I think, for the whole thing,
mm-hmm.
then it's got to be outlined about what that really entails.
Well, you don't want dates of when we're
correct.
Going to be doing the shows, just like what it would be each time.
Number of hours,
here's
right.
how many shows, and here's...
And perhaps it could even be, hey, it's always on a Tuesday, or it's always on a Thursday.
Would that work for you?
Yeah, then? That would be much better, because we could predict that. Again, we're trying to not avoid revenue from
mm-hmm.
somebody else.
Let's make it clear, because I think there might be some confusion going on. This is what the board is asking for to give consideration. But in the application process, we need dates.
Yes.
Just to make sure that that's
But they're asking for a variance, not for one specific event. They're asking for a variance for everything that happens under
correct.
The tag of Snow Lake Players. So for that, we can't give specific dates.
Sure, we have in the past. You know,
I don't
somebody has called. I'll just say, I know I've taken the call from Laura Steinman and say, hey, Al, or she'll come into the office and say, hey, Al, is this date, is this time open?
Yeah, absolutely. But Laura comes to you once we've cast the show.
Right.
And like for the kids program, I know we would have a really difficult time saying, hey, we're going to meet it on Tuesdays and Thursdays ahead of time, because what we do is we poll the kids, what days do you have conflicts,
mm-hmm.
and then we look, that's part of how we figure out who's in what group, because everybody's so involved in everything, it's
right.
really hard to find a day of the week, and when you have a small community like this, you've got to work with what you've got. If you choose a night that nobody can totally understand
what you're saying.
But so could they say, Wes or whoever was making the request, could they say this many times a week instead of the days of
yeah,
the week?
Yeah, sure.
Like, okay,
sure.
2 days a week for
but
two and a half
that,
hours.
Sure.
Two
open days.
That would
not work for the calendar.
What?
Because
I'm talking about the variance, though.
For the variance, and that's what I said earlier.
Yeah, you're talking about the
application.
You're talking
about the application,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Let's make sure that it's clear that what you're asking for deals with the variance process and not the application.
Yes, but
right.
let me actually get clear on something. So because the application calls for specific dates, do they need to be submitting an application every time they do a new show?
Yes.
Because
yes.
I always have.
Okay.
Yes.
I just want to make sure that was, I didn't realize. I've always put in a new application
every show. Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect.
I mean, I think I would agree to like zero variance, like why even pay the $100? I mean, just to make it zero, if and 60 days, don't book anything more than 60 days out, so we can try to keep that open for rent payers. Mm-hmm. And get some more definition on how many times a week and all that.
So Wes, would that, is there the stipulation for shows that are performed here?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I would like to see more shows here. I mean, I would, because it sort of does bug me when there's 9 rehearsals and it's done somewhere else. It's like, well, if you do the rehearsals here, how come you can't do the play here? I mean, I don't quite get it.
But also, like they said, their families who are their children or the family members participating in that, it's serving those families. Even if we're not seeing them here, those families are traveling to Apple Valley or to Serrano or wherever,
right,
and it's benefiting them. And for me, it's Parks and Recreation. My goal, you know, is Parks and Recreation. And I think that, you know, this is one of the oldest Parks and Recreation, you know, offerings in this community, and why wouldn't we support that?
Okay, so you know, this could go on all night here. Hang on a second, Ron. Hang on a second. So,
I think we should get some more details.
I think we should get some more details, and then you should come back to us with a cleaner variance, okay?
Which includes the actual variance request form. So,
yes.
Okay.
Okay. So, can be a little more specific. Table until the next.
So I think it should be. I think it should be zero.
We need you to go back through this process, and this
letter.
Either revise this significantly or take the variance form and create a new letter that outlines the things.
But the variance I propose, you're not wanting to do. You're saying offer.
Right. Right.
He's not offering it because we have to vote on it.
Right. But that's
so,
what you're saying.
That's
suggestion.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's his suggestion.
And then the time amount that we'll do per week.
Yes.
Okay.
2 days, how many hours? More details around this. Right now we're trying to figure it out. I'm looking at, I did my own math here. 2 days a week, 3 hours a day, for 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I got the rates and I got all the math on it, but to Wes's point, I'd like to see more details.
Okay.
And then I think every application of every variance has to have an application variance, so we don't have to, as the board members, we don't have to go through and ask all these questions. It'll be all carefully laid out already for us.
Yes, this just looks like, you know, a request or a letter, and I would prefer to see a variance so you could see the numbers and the times and the dates and all of that reflected here instead of reading the letter, which I appreciate the letter from everybody.
The numbers without
the form.
Yep.
Just the form.
So I think that's the direction to Al, maybe, is to require the form and then bring the form to us.
Yeah,
you said you ran the numbers, Leo. I wondered what they were.
Oh.
Did you record it or delete it already?
Yeah, I already deleted it.
Okay.
Okay.
It is.
Okay. So I'm just gonna remove this this from, or we're just kinda not gonna take any action on that.
Do you think and, public comment on this item?
No, I'm gonna move on.
Why
would you not want to take
public comment on the item?
Because I'm moving on.
But
if you are,
if there's an item, what is your argument for not accepting public comment?
We're not taking action
because
on it.
Because there's no motion is what you're saying?
Right, there's no action. Because they're going
to
come back next month.
Right, but
Mr. President, I would suggest to take.
Okay, all right, go ahead.
Great, thank you so much for your understanding. Based on what I just heard in terms of syncing the application to the variance, I think that while I am completely in favor of the Snowline Players being granted the variance each and every time, by tying each variance to each application, so that it's like...
No, we're not doing that.
I have 3 minutes to give my public comment. That is the way the law is written. That by tying each application, which you just asked to get the application, we had the competition with the land club because it wasn't tied into the application. What I'm suggesting is by tying each application to the variance, even if it becomes, we approve this every time and Al is in charge of just signing off on it, But by tying the variance to each application, it makes this process a lot simpler to see what the actual community benefit of each of these items is. And again, even if it's just a rubber stamp, it's cleaner paperwork, in my opinion. Thank you.
So I actually want to ask for a point of clarification. You're suggesting that rather than having a variance which covers whatever the group does, that it should be submitted for each event?
Well, not each event, each show. Because,
yes.
So there's all these sort of, well, how many people is happening here? And this allows, and I think it should always be approved, but it just allows it to be much cleaner and syncing each variance to an application. So every variance has an application directly tied to it, which is kind of what, incidentally, Leah was just asking for in another circumstance anyhow.
Thank you, Josh.
Okay.
Does time permit additional advocacy for snow line, or should I be?
If you want to, yes, sure. If you want to come to the mic and state your name, I just need to get to the next, otherwise we're going to be here a while.
If you have anything to say, come to the mic so we know.
My name is Dean Alexander, and I'm here this evening as an advocate for Snowline Players, not to present fiscal facts and figures, but to consider what Snowline has meant personally. Involvement with Snowline has been maturational for my son, Evan Alexander, and transformational for me. In his early 20s, in between college semesters, Evan became a successful summer salesman for Cutco. When I asked him how it was that he felt so comfortable engaging with prospective customers, he pointed to being a cast member in Snowline Productions. Sure, he learned his lines, but he also learned how to talk with other people, old and young. Jump back a generation or two. Our first lady of theater, Laura Steinman, promised to stage my first musical in 1996 if I would only fill in as the rabbi's son in her Snowline production of Fiddler on the Roof. Honestly, I think she needed one Jew. We shook hands, and thus began my journey as a writer and actor. Today, much of my retirement is devoted to musical theater. Together with collaborators Janet Hay, also from Wrightwood via Australia, and John Hetherington, not from Wrightwood or Australia, we've had 3 original musicals on 6 stages, and the expectation of being in Los Angeles Theater next year. For me, this all began with Snowline, and I'm truly grateful. One last ad about Snowline Players outside of my family. Reading about their co-sponsored summer arts program and the recent progress Mountaineer, I'm confident that hopeful young actors, artists, and poets will find this enrichment experience meaningful in their own development. If the players were forced to relocate from Wrightwood because of budgetary constraints, it would be a tremendous loss educationally, artistically, and culturally to our community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Monica Gibrilli, I have a quick question. Would Cheryl be able to show her variance request to one of the board members before the next meeting to make sure that it has everything you guys
want?
She should go to Al and Al will know exactly what you guys are asking for, so that it doesn't get pushed back another month. It's sort of the nature of the beast
with the public agency when it comes to elected officials that can't have the board deliberating on issues outside of a public meeting. So the appropriate mechanism is through the general manager, and then it gets presented at the board meeting. And if there's a delay, that's just sort of the nature
part of the process.
Yeah, that's just part of the process. There really, there really isn't a way to avoid that process at the expense of public transparency. And so I would really caution the board against deliberating on an issue outside of public involvement.
Yeah.
Really the appropriate way is to, is this is great. The general manager has been taking that all in and will present it in the way that he feels is consistent with what the comments have been from the board. And then there may or may not be additional commentary from the board at the next meeting.
Or more changes.
Yeah, or more changes.
Right.
That's just
thanks, Monica.
It's inherent in the process. Yeah.
Thank you.
I just have something really quick. A little information was omitted. My name's Mary Dumont. There are plays and adult plays that are held here usually every year. There was, and also at the Apple Orchard, they had Midsummer Night's Dream there. Anne Frank was here. The Odd Couple was here. So they do have plays here also. It's usually just the summer play is their biggest production, but like around Christmas time or during the year, they have plays up here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, Jessica Wright. I'm sorry, I know you're good at the table of the discussion and you want to move on, but I won't be able to make the next meeting. Things have rehearsals Tuesday night, and I couldn't commit that I won't be able to do the next one. So I just wanted to add my comments that I came tonight to add that I won't be able to next time. I've been in the Snelling Player since I was 8 years old. The production of The Girl on the Roof that Dean mentioned was my first show with the Players. And I wanted to kind of discuss a little bit about the community benefit and what it can do for our children from this community that are raised in this group, because I'm one of them. I've been a part of it and been an active member since I was 8 years old. It's not just a group that gets together for fun shows. It's a group that teaches children memorization techniques. It enhances their empathy by stepping into another character. You see the world from another perspective. It builds better rounded humans. I'm obviously not afraid to get up in front of any kind of group, and throughout school that was a huge boon to me through my bachelor's degree in nursing, through my master's degree in nursing. I attribute all of my success as an adult, or a good majority of it, through my time in the Players and the people that I met through it. As a child, the adults that were involved were mentors and friends, and every show that I was in, I formed incredibly close bonds. It's been based in Wrightwood since before I was born. This is our home. The idea of it not being in Wrightwood, even though I'm not a community member anymore, I live in Hesperia now, is distressing, even though I drive my push up here for rehearsals every chance I get. And then the concern that was broached of rehearsals being here without the shows being performed here. The rehearsals being here is actually still a really important part of the process, because the rehearsals being elsewhere is extremely prohibitive to families from this community being involved in the shows, because Wrightwoodians can most likely not drive to Victorville, and the theater in Victorville is in a kind of shady part of town that we don't really want to be in after dark. So the likelihood of our community's children being able to be involved in the shows, if the rehearsals, even if the show isn't here, if the rehearsals themselves aren't here, which is a majority of the show itself, the show performances are just a couple of times in a different community. If it's outside, it's one a year that's outside of this community. The majority of the time is here, which is why it's important that the rehearsals be here, so that our kids can have rehearsals that are close to home and not be driving out to Apple Valley twice a week or something. So thank you for your time.
I apologize
for continuing the evening.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Barbara Badger. I have been a character in the plays, in the cast, and I've spent some time helping to build a pirate ship and building pyramids and painting those. And I had one occasion where I had to create a false cigarette within 30 seconds. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. So I just wanted to share, where else would you be able to build a pirate ship and paint pyramids in a small town like this, except for community theater?
Okay.
Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you. All right. Item 14, Angeles Crest 100-mile endurance run variance request. Discussion and possible action. So, okay. What is the actual variance?
Handwritten. 54.
If I can add your going to be things, number 54. And this variance request came a little late. This variance request came a little late to the district. I could not get it on the agenda for last meeting. Their event was held last weekend. Just to let you know. So
yeah,
there's a little hindsight on Fontes. I'll kind of leave it at that. But
what's the variance is requesting that they want the in-town rate and not the out-of-town rate. Is that right?
I don't see where that was a variance request. Yeah, Redwood resident rate.
Yeah. Is that
what
they got?
Yeah.
They got the resident rate this last time. Well, if it's already been done.
How did they get
Well, because Katie is a resident.
She is a coordinator.
Mm-hmm. The organization is out of town.
Right.
They found somebody who lives in town to be there.
So what were the actual hours? Were they here all, like, 24 hours around the clock? Because it says start time was 8:02 at 12 p.m. and end time was 8:04 at 6 a.m. I know they often sleep in the building, and they what was the use of the facility?
No, they weren't. They didn't stay overnight, and I have an email with the actual hours on it that I used.
Do you know what the total number of hours?
I think it was 17.
Okay.
For the day. 17 for one day, 3 for another. It was here and there. They were here for 3 days.
Okay.
But it's really an out-of-town event, isn't it? I mean, it's... I guess we don't have that clearly defined on what that means, if where their address is, or...
Well, she lives here on Acorn Drive.
Well, she might live here, but where's the organization?
I don't know where the organization is.
She's applying as the coordinator.
Well, who holds the insurance policy for the group?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I know for the co-op, I hold that insurance policy under my name. You know who, if it's a resident or not, so... Okay.
So what are we doing with this?
What are they asking?
What are we doing with this? Yeah, if it's already taking place.
Yeah. Well, she'll have it readily available. I mean, she's going to get the answer to your question.
Yes.
But they have not paid for the event that they just...
They did pay for it.
They did. So are they asking for this rate for next year? Or what are they asking if they paid for it?
No, this is too late.
This is dealing with this year.
This was this
year. What rate did they pay, Al? $13.50 or
$17.50?
$13.50.
So what are they asking?
So how come it's on the agenda? That's what we're confused about.
Because they filled out a variance rate. And according to our policy, if somebody says that, I have to bring it forward.
Even after the fact.
But we should have charged them the out-of-town rate then, if, you know, in lieu of the variance being approved, right?
Well, that's where we have some gray area.
Okay.
We have some gray area on that.
But you gave it to her because she...
The organization is an out-of-town organization. They had somebody from in-town basically be their representative.
Which I think they always have, right? There's always someone... I think it was Bonnie, I can't remember her last name, that did it for years, and...
I don't know.
Well, I mean, there's nothing to do on here, right?
No.
They really should have been charged the out of town rate. That's all I can say.
And what was that out of town rate?
$17.50.
Yeah.
Cherry Hill. I can clarify one little thing. Pat Bittenbender, who does live in Redwood, she was behind me. she has been one of the original organizers of this event since day one. And it just had its 31st anniversary run. So it's not just them using her name. She's
she is the AC 100 as much as the other guy, his name I can't think of.
Well, Katie Grossman filled out the thing.
Yeah, so it would seem to me that the action that the board could consider is whether or not to ratify the general manager's determination to apply the in-community rate versus the out-of-community rate.
Why not?
It seems like what's also needed is some clarification on what qualifies as resident rate.
But this is a organization, Angeles Crest 100 Mile Endurance Run, right? Is that an actual organization?
The AC 100.
The AC 100 is an actual organization, and they have an actual address, right? They have a
website.
Well, so the insurance is in Virginia for Roadrunners Club of America.
Okay.
Where's the Roadrunner located? Virginia? Well, that's part of the community, I guess.
They don't appear to have an address on their website.
But they've been billed and they've paid. I don't like the idea of going back at them.
No, it's too late.
I think it is what it is at this point.
But next year, we
do need to have a discussion about, so that everybody's clear and everybody can be confident about what qualifies as resident and what doesn't. Because as it stands right now, from my recollection, this qualifies as resident. That was my memory of it. But I don't. What do the rest of you remember? Or what is it actually? Do we have that clarified?
No, we've never done that.
No,
so it's just a matter of, you know, where's the organization based? Now, if they can say, well, we've got this representative in Wrightwood, and suddenly it's based in Wrightwood at P.O. Box, you know, do they get mail there? Do they... Really, is this really the organization's address? Is this P.O. Box in Wrightwood, and it all goes to Katie Grossman? I don't know. If it's an out of town event, the organization is based out of town. That's how I interpret it. Whatever the organization is, whatever their address is, but they don't appear to have an address from their website, right?
Mm-mm. I was looking to see if you could register, but seeing as it just finished. There's nothing about registration on here. That I'm noticing.
Well, I think this thing is done for this year, so.
For next year, they need to make sure they come a month in advance or 2 months before the race.
Well, I guess the question would be whether we want to bring the policy back to the board for review as to clarification as to what the board wants in the way of what.
Yeah.
I think that would be.
Put it on
the official, you know, the official organization address is what I would want to change the policy to.
I think it's worth reviewing the whole policy, because when we created this policy, we didn't have some of the experience that we have now with variances being brought forward. And so I think we perhaps develop more of an idea of how to guide that process and what to specify there.
I think clearly what we're seeing is that the exception is certainly swallowing up the rule over the last few meetings. So it wouldn't be a bad idea to bring that policy back.
All right, can you do that, Al, in the next meeting?
To review.
Okay. Okay, item 15, senior line dance variance.
Yeah. Do they have a right
to
their address?
I don't know.
Do
you?
Yeah. Who's here to present this? I would. Okay.
Is this letter authored by you, Al?
Yes.
Okay.
What's that? Page 56.
There wasn't a... to or from, and so I wasn't sure.
And no date.
Yep, that's
from you. That's from you. And that's recently written. Just for the purposes of this agenda. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay, if you'd like to read through that, then ask any questions you'd like. That's fine.
Well, given the fact that the last meeting I was the one that brought it up, as far as this was not, had no variance, and you had said at that time that, you know, the county staff had said it was okay, and I assume the supervisor or the county staff was Shannon, worked with her supervisor on the senior line dance. You felt it was part of the parks and recreation, and that there was no cost. A couple of things that I have. Yeah, I brought it up as far as having the board look at it, because I was under the impression that any variance is supposed to be voted on by the board. It had nothing to do with parks and rec. It had to do with the variance saying, we vote on it, you don't make the deals, but we vote one way or another.
Right. But
I'll say right up front.
Here it is.
Well, yeah, and I'll say right up front, I support the senior line dance program. I think it's great for the senior citizens. I would recommend to all the directors to vote yes on the variance, because I think it's great. And I think it's something, we have stuff for kids, we got stuff for young adults, I think for the senior citizens, it's great to have a program for them also. I also question your last line, Al, that says the cost of the district at this time is none. I assume that if it's in the summer, they use the AC. If it's in the winter, they use the heater. I assume they use the restrooms. I assume they turn on the lights. So there actually is some type of cost. I'm not saying to do it. I think that they should get the variance, and I think they should be able to do it for free. But this was a little bit misleading from my point of view. But that's my position. I would hope the rest of the directors would vote to approve it.
Okay. The last sentence here, Alice, is what does this mean with a one-time deposit of $150 and the cost of insurance? What does that mean? That a deposit for?
Let me explain.
That's if we would have charged.
Yes, yeah, if they were going to pay.
The senior line dance is not an organization. So these are people who historically or hysterically have come to this facility on the same day, same time, for over 10 years. We don't have an application from them.
So they created their own little organization.
When the board hired me back in August of last year, I talked with Shannon, I talked with Tim Millington. They both said, well, you know, it's just been kind of part of the district. It's always just been part of what's going on. And so I made the assumption, mm-hmm. I made the decision as your general manager that this was a park and recreation program. And I relayed that to those who were participating at the time. Currently, or recently, it was brought up that we need to have a variance. To me, the variance is applicable if they have an application, if they're an organization or an individual, yep, going down that road. Being that there's part of the program, kind of like the yoga group, they don't have a variance. They are a program as part of this district.
But wasn't that approved back in July when the CSD was first formed?
Not in July, but yes.
Well, and Lynn came up here and the board said, yes, yeah, we will support that. But the board was the one that said you guys were, that was before I was on the board, but the board approved that, I believe, July or August.
I think it was a couple of months later, yeah.
So
type
but
of thing.
It was at the beginning. We definitely voted
but
on it.
But the point being with the county was the county said that the Lions Club, because they donated it, they got a discount. They also said that the farmers market got a discount. So it's not because, you know, Shannon said that, you know, they've done it for 50 years or so whatever it is. We have a new organization, and part of our policies and procedures were if people want to use the community, that they it goes through the CSD, the board, to vote on whether to allow them, you know, a variance or not to allow a variance. That's the way I understood it. That's why I brought it up when I found that they were using the facility and there was no variance. Again, let me say, I think having something for the senior citizens is excellent. I would highly recommend that the rest of the directors vote for it and just follow the procedure.
Right. Well, I believe it was part of the decision when we instigated the idea of a variance that any variance has to be approved by the board.
Yep.
And now we've got it. The only issue I had with it was the last sentence, which the cost of the district is none. That I think is a tricky statement to make, because then we're just what Chuck said, then we're saying there's no cost to this building, and there is, because you guys are here, the lights are on. But I think it's perhaps it's negligible. My question though, I see in this last paragraph that the building rental, if we were not to approve the variance, the building rental would be $108 per month, and they have to pay that initial deposit of $150. Oh. And then it says, and the cost of insurance. So does that mean that right now they're operating under our insurance?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That was my only question.
Okay. Anything else, guys?
Let's vote on it.
Yeah.
All right.
We
have
a public.
Oh, I gotcha. Comment.
Hi, Cynthia Beal, Brightwood resident. I'd just like to add, as a taxpaying member of San Bernardino County, that I really appreciate that the board is addressing this and has agreed that procedure and precedent should be followed. Because for things to be done without following through the proper channels, it makes it just, you know, like the OK Corral instead of a civilized body. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Okay,
can I have a motion for to accept the senior line dance variance request?
So moved.
I second it.
All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed say no. I'm voting no, but the motion does carry. All right. Item 16, director's comments.
I have a comment, and I don't know if it's a director comment, but I was contacted by a member of the community that is unable to attend these meetings and would like me to read a letter on her behalf. Am I able to do that during director's comments?
Sure.
Okay. So I received a letter. It says, Dear Natalie and community, I am writing with a request to place a non-smoking sign outside of the local children's park. As a resident of Wrightwood for 4 years now, my four-year-old daughter and I have become accustomed to frequenting the local children's park in town. In the 4 years that we have lived in Wrightwood, there have been more occasions than I can count on both hands that I have asked people not to smoke in the play park, an area which, to my knowledge, is considered a smoke-free zone in California. Being the messenger of such an unsolicited request, more often than not, has opened me up often to an angry response. I am therefore requesting for the CSD and the community of Wrightwood to stand up for and protect the rights and the health of our children by installing non-smoking signs in the park to let people know that this is considered a safe zone for children. With appreciation for your support and time, Heather Harkis.
Okay.
That's something that has to go on a future agenda. I would very much, thank you for reading that. I would very much like that to be on our next agenda.
Yeah.
I would as well.
Yeah.
I agree.
Please, Al. Thank you.
I have no comments.
Thank you for that comment.
Yeah.
That have addressed in that meeting is how that ruling is going to be upheld,
yeah,
and
enforced. Right, whether there's a fee or so, you know, just saying no smoking, please, versus saying there's this kind of penalty for littering, like what we have on the.
Well, let's not. Let's get it on the agenda and discuss
right,
it.
But that's what she's asking
yeah,
to make sure
yeah.
we cover
yeah.
all of it.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. All right. Future board meetings and agenda items.
Well, I have a comment.
Okay. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I haven't decided yet.
Well, last board meeting, when we were talking about the Wrightwood Village Trail, I made a comment where I think I offended some people, and that was certainly not my intention, where I had said that John Ledoux had done about 80% of the focus on the follow-through and that type of thing, and I wasn't aware of how much the committee, Ron and Sue, and the people that stood up at that meeting, what they have contributed to that also, and I just wanted to publicly apologize to them. It was not my intent at that time.
That's it.
20 pushups.
20 pushups.
Okay.
We'll be here all week.
I want to thank you guys for your work, and if this is the appropriate time, I actually want to thank John for what you contribute to the meeting so very consistently, with your ideas and then helping us consider different angles and such. How much longer do we have you?
Day by day. Until the house sells.
You'll be there.
Okay.
Okay, I'm done.
Did you have a final comment, John?
On your next item on the agenda.
This would be the third time that I've asked for this, and I've been said that you would, and that is that the agenda, item number 17, future agenda, that you please put down the next date and time and place, well, not necessarily place, but date and time for the next meeting when you print the agendas.
It's on here.
Where?
You want to set it on number 7.
And fourth.
No, down at 17.
This is item number
17. Yeah, okay. Item number 17, future board and agenda meetings. There is no date there.
September 4th.
He's asking for it to be on the agenda.
So in other words, when we go to this part of the meeting, I can look down there and say, okay, the next meeting is going to be September, whatever. Blah, blah.
September 4th.
Right. So that's a request. Please.
Okay, that's our next meeting, September 4th.
We got to look at the calendar. Is that the holiday?
Yeah.
Well, Labor Day is September 3rd, I believe.
I don't think that's a problem.
No.
Is it?
Yeah. Not for me.
The only problem we're going to have is New Year's Day.
I might be driving home from Texas.
When are you ever here?
I'm trying.
Question if he's a community member.
Well, I mean, is that the next date then, September 4th?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right. And then communications, got some flyers, got some stuff in here. Recycle, we got the recycle program coming up on, or the Pine Needle on September 7th. Spread the word on that. That's a really good deal.
Yeah, and I forgot to say something I didn't include in the communications, but registration for Wrightwood CSD fall softball is open until August 26th. So I have some flyers, and I'll post them around town, and I'll put some in the back because I have them on my bag. So I apologize.
Have we totally canceled the soccer portion of your proposal originally?
Temporarily, because AYSO is offering an adult soccer league that will begin this month. So I was hoping to maybe pick that up in springtime after they have their league.
Great. Okay. I have a question about the Master Gardener presentation. It says in the park next to you.
Vivian Null Park.
Thank you. And then I should have said this probably during the director's comments, but I did have a request from a community member that we put our agenda on the post office door. Can we do that?
You see the post office door.
No.
Doesn't allow. Okay. Thank you.
Ellen.
We have it at the
Well, they just absolutely, and they weren't questioning that it was not being done appropriately. We were at the post office talking, and they said, "Well, gosh, this is a place that everybody in town comes. It'd be nice to have it here." So I just wanted to pass that along, but
right. That's.
But now I've got a response. So thank you.
And just one more community announcement. There is one more Music in the Pines this summer. It's this Thursday, August 9th at 6 p.m.
I'll be the last one.
Thank you. Okay, meeting's adjourned.
Thank you.